I'm Amber.
And I'm Becca.
From cranberries
to cows
and everything in between,
this is Forward Farming. Hey everyone, welcome back to Forward Farming, take two of the evening. We've had a few technical difficulties, but if you're new here, just get used to it, because that is just how it goes, okay? So tonight on the podcast, oh my gosh. Can you guys hear that? Sorry, my mom texted me. And Aaron also texted me. I think play that clip.
It was me.
No, I think we should play it a little bit. I think it'll be funny to listen to. But before, okay, I blew up our secret already. Tonight on the podcast, we have a very amazing guest. We've had a lot of laughs before this even started. Like, we probably have 5 minutes recorded of us just laughing. But our guest tonight, she loves raccoons. She loves farming. She used to love sharing her story on social media. So tonight we have Ern, better known as Aaron Holbert. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me, even with all the technical difficulties coming from my way.
I can't stop laughing, you guys. I've been laughing. Face is so red. This video is not going to be up on YouTube because our internet is not cooperating, which is a shocker.
Okay, before we get started,
thankfully you guys can't see me breaking out in hives.
From laughing?
Yes.
I feel like you should see a doctor about that.
I'm very sensitive.
Okay, I'd just like to play a little clip. Aaron described our voices as what? The Grinch?
Yeah, like the Grinch underwater in slow motion.
So, here we go. Cool, it's not even... Oh. Nope. Apparently, okay, never mind. It didn't record the sound. Anyways, I would reenact that for you guys, but I don't even know how that would sound, so... Aaron, hi. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your birth date, social security number, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Just get a pen out so you can write down that social security number.
Oh, yep, I'm ready when you are.
Yeah, so if you don't already know me, it's been a while since I've been on social media. I'm Aaron Holbert. I farm with my dad on the West Central side of Indiana, right on the Illinois state line, but we're still on the good side of that line. We're in Indiana. Yeah, you don't want to cross over into Illinois.
You don't.
No.
Bad vibes.
But yeah, pretty. I just got married. I guess
that's
been a while ago. I'm gonna keep milking it though, because like we didn't tell anyone for a while. So I'm gonna milk the whole newlywed thing for as long as I can. But yeah, so I have a husband. Step kid now, just living the dream.
Aaron, for those that don't know you or haven't found you on social media, talk to us a little bit about your farm story and what you farm, what you do on the farm, and if you're multi-generational, give us a whole rundown on your family's farm.
Yeah, so I was born and raised on the farm. My dad took over the farm from his uncle, so it wasn't a direct line. I never know how to answer the generational question, because I guess technically I'm second generation, but we've been farming for a long time before that in different parts of the family. We stick to corn and soybeans. If you have to fence it or feed it, you don't need it. Sorry, Becca.
Hey, some days I agree with you. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I always wanted livestock growing up, and that was like always the line my dad gave me. And now that I'm older and now that I'm married to someone with cattle, I understand. You can't just take off and leave like you can with corn and soybeans. So, But yeah, on the farm, I do a little bit of everything during busy season, you know, run the tractors, plant the beans, run the cart, all that good stuff. And then just help in the shop and the office in the off season. So we're always busy. I know that's the funny joke that everyone likes to say is, oh, those row crop farmers, you know, they don't do anything. But anyone who's ever met Ross Holbert, I would beg to differ.
Team no days off.
Yeah, there are no days off. He's like calling me Sunday afternoons, like, where you at? And I'm like, well, I, you know, it's February. I didn't think it was necessary to be there 7 days.
Growing up, did you always know that this is what you wanted to be doing? Or what did you go to school for? What was little Erin? What were her hopes and dreams as a kid?
Yeah, so little Erin did not, I always planned on marrying a farmer, but my life goal was to be a large animal vet. And then I got to college, I was majoring in pre-vet animal science, loved the classes and everything. But I actually, my first semester of college, decided, you know what, like, I love, you know, the row crop farm thing as well. And little naive 18-year-old me thought, you know what? I want to be out of here in 3 or 4 years. Instead of 8 years, I'll be just as happy on the farm as I would be being a large animal vet. And that way I can get married young, have a bunch of kids, and be done by 30. And, you know, spend the rest of my life farming. And that didn't quite work out like I thought it would. But, yeah, I don't regret. I ended up majoring in ag business and crop science at Purdue, and I've gotten to do a lot of cool stuff, worked a few cool places. So I haven't just been on the farm my whole life. My dad always said, you know, if you do plan on coming back, you have to work someplace else for someone else for a few years. And I think that was really good advice on his part. I'm not letting any, he told all of us kids, you know, you have to go someplace else for a while before I'll consider hiring you.
I think that is such a valuable thing to do, not only to like explore and see new things, but to like really make sure that the choices that you're making and like coming back to the farm is truly what you want to do. Like not something like out of obligation or anything like that, that could make you, I don't know if resent is the right word, but resent coming back to the farm. So I think that's really awesome that you did that. And I mean, Amber, you did that as well. So,
yeah. Yeah. That was something that both my parents really encouraged. And I think for me, it really helped differentiate my parent from the boss that is my parent. You know what I mean? Like it really helped me kind of separate the two because, you know, we have to work together with family all day, every day. But then there's also family birthdays and family things happening after work. So you have to kind of check your hat at the door depending on what door you're walking into. So that was a huge help for me. So I'm glad your dad kind of had the same view too.
Yeah, actually the last job I worked, I was a district sales manager for a seed company, and we had a weekly like conference call with the whole company. And I've left the reminder on my calendar and my phone, like that's been 4 or 5 years ago since I even worked that job. But like every Monday morning at 8 a.m., I get like the notification. And like there are some weeks where like I really need that notification as a reminder, like when things aren't going well on the farm, the markets are terrible, my dad and I, you know, like working with family is a struggle sometimes. But like to be like, okay, you hated working for someone else and working that job. So like it's a nice little reminder, like, okay, you know, things aren't going great, but they could be worse and you could be much more unhappy than you are.
Right. You could be stuck behind a desk and working for someone that doesn't care about you. Yeah, I totally understand how that feels.
Yes. And then I always tell my dad, like you said, like having to like differentiate between like your dad as the head of the farm and like you're just your dad. Mm-hmm. And parents. And I always tell my dad like that my Father's Day gift to him is like to not see him that entire weekend, because at that point we have been together pretty much 24/7 from March to June, and we are just sick of each other. Like I don't want to see him, he doesn't want to see me, we're good.
How, okay, let's go back to, if you could write yourself a note, like, today to the Erin before she started working back on the farm, are there any pieces of advice that you would write down for that version of you? Or would you just kind of write down, like, good luck, figure it out? Like, you know, if there's anyone listening out there that is getting ready to go back home and work with their folks or something, or with some version of family, is there any bit of advice that you would give to them or yourself before you start working?
I would say, like, the best thing is just good luck. Like, it's going to be trial by fire. Like, I feel I'm one of those people, like, I love to tell myself, like, oh, yeah, you would love to, like, take people's advice, but I'm not. Like, I'm not going to listen to anyone. So I definitely needed to just learn those lessons along the way. But I would say the one thing is to just always remember, like, how lucky you are, like, even on the bad days. Because for all the pros and cons of working with family, like, so far, I found that the pros definitely outweigh the cons.
For sure. I totally agree with that too. It's like, I don't, like, everyone's experience is so different. You just kind of have to go with the flow. And, like, my dad is completely different than your dad. So the way I handle something might be triggering for your dad or vice versa.
Yes.
Let's kind of shift gears a little bit. When did you first start sharing on social media, and what was kind of your thought process behind it? Was it just kind of like I'm just going to try this and see what happens? Or did you have a goal of starting to share this to reach mass amounts of people? Because you have a pretty good following. I feel like you're kind of one of the OG farm, I don't want to say influencer, because that's a gross word. You're one of, like, the first people to show what a day in the life of a farmer is like. What was your beginning goal, I guess?
You know, I did not really have one. I was back on the farm. I guess I kind of started sharing. I was helping out on the farm part-time while I was selling seed. And I just kind of enjoyed sharing it. I didn't grow up, like, with a lot of people that shared my interest in agriculture, even though, like, the majority of my friends also grew up on farms. You know, it just wasn't what they were into. And I just found that, like, sharing on social media, mainly Instagram to start with, you know, I was able to connect with a lot of people who had similar experiences, similar interests, and it was just kind of fun. And then I started with the t-shirts. And once I started that, I actually kind of started to take, you know, growing my following a little more seriously. And it just kind of all spiraled from there. Like, it was never in my plan. But then opportunities started coming, and I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. And then it just kept, I don't know, like, skyrocketing, snowballing in a way that I never expected. And at times, like, I didn't know how to handle. So
I think that's something that the three of us all kind of have in common. Like, starting on social media for me was the same thing. It was like just kind of being able to share what I was doing every day, because we've said it before, but farming can be isolating. It can be hard to, like, talk about what you're doing and have someone think that what you're doing is, like, exciting. Mm-hmm. And so social media was just a really good way to kind of to share and to, like, meet other people and know that you're not the only person out there that, you know, maybe has bad days on the farm or stressed out about certain things or the weather and stuff like that. It's just kind of nice to have an outlet to put that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Being alone in a tractor, like, during busy seasons, like, when you're in there for, like, 12, 16 hours a day for weeks on end, and you're just like, wow, I haven't talked to anyone. And I'm like, oh, okay, but, you know, I saw what Amber was doing today, and I commented on her picture, and I'm like, oh.
You feel less alone. Like, you're still connected to the outside world, even though you've been sitting in a cab.
It's kind of like when we're in the field next to the elevator and I get really excited because then I get to like wave at all the drivers coming in and I'm like, wow, you look like a psychopath. But like to me, like I'm like, oh, wow, I get to say hi to someone. And a lot of them don't wave back, but, you know.
So rude. They're probably from Illinois.
They're from the bad side.
Yes.
So, you also have a YouTube, correct?
I do.
And how did that, I guess, when did you start that and, like, what kind of made you want to pursue a YouTube?
Yeah, so I put off YouTube. I pretty much just stuck with, Twitter was the first thing I got, and then Instagram, Facebook. And I really put off doing YouTube because I do not like to be on video. And it's, that was something that's still like hard to get used to even now, like years later. But actually, Laura Wilson, Laura Farms, I was friends with her back when she was like in high school. Like I knew her family actually through Twitter, of all things. And she was like, hey, you really need to get like a YouTube. Like I think you do really well. Like I'm doing well. And I wish I would have listened to her and her dad, Kale, sooner. because I definitely could have, you know, it's turned into a nice side business. But yeah, they were the ones that originally, like, talked me into it. And then, yeah, that also kind of took off and put me in front of a whole new audience, for better or worse. And it's kind of cool just to see all the people from around the world who watch it.
Have you made any really cool, really random connections through social media? I mean, aside from us.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You obviously guys are my favorites. Thank you. We'll pay you later.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I feel like, I have, like, connected with some really cool people, from England, mainly, I guess, and Canada. I almost said Canada. I don't know why. I'm like, that's not right. I'm actually having a stroke right now. I have not been sleeping well. Like, lately, I've had really bad insomnia, so I took, like, a sleeping pill last night for the first time, and, like, all day, like, I have been out of it. But anyway, sorry, that was, I did not need to share that. Anyway, but yes, I have made some really cool connections that I never, you know, would have made, like, people that are like, oh, you know, if you're ever over here, stop by the farm. And so that's really cool to know that, like, if I'm overseas someplace, I have, you know, a friend there.
Have you ever taken anybody up on that offer? Like, have you gone and traveled and met some farm friends that you've met online?
Yeah, you. Cool. What's that? Like,
I'm setting you up here.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I think I just, like, messaged you, and I was like, hey, this is really weird. I get that, but I'm going to be, like, driving through. Can I stop by and meet you in person?
Yeah, I was super pregnant, so I'm like, yeah, if you want to waddle with me, let's go.
Yeah, you were really pregnant, and I felt so bad when I got there because it was really hot
you're
that
like,
day.
Oh, my God, you're huge.
I didn't say that. I didn't know you well enough to say that yet. But I was like, I feel so bad for making this woman get out of her house.
It's fine. It's just 98 degrees.
I was like, the stuffed raccoon that I brought her for her unborn child was not enough to make up for this.
It was. He still uses that. So it was a much appreciated gift.
Well, good, good.
I met anybody else. Have you met anybody else along the way?
Yes, besides you, I also have done a couple tours through Michigan and have met people, Eight Plates Farm, the folks at Butcher Farms, Kelly, I always say her name wrong, Ratajak. They're all like from the thumb of Michigan. Like there was actually quite a few people from Instagram in that area. So I just kind of made a loop, the Michigan Farm Sisters. The Kenny Brothers Farm, they do like all sorts of stuff and they do pickles, which I hate pickles, but that was really cool. They showed me like how, you know, they're made because they have like the whole pickling vats and everything. So I got to tour that, which was really neat. So yeah, I'm just that weirdo that will message people and be like, hey, can I stop by?
That's really cool, though. I'm glad that you are extroverted enough to do that, because I would just be like...
Yeah. That's the weirdest thing, though, is because I am so far from extroverted. I think I was just like, I really need friends. Like, I need some more friends in the ag industry, so I'm really desperate. Can I please just be your friend?
And then somehow you wound up in this weird little circle with us. Yeah. But
and it's weird because, like, I'm still friends with all of these people. Like, I send them Christmas cards. I, you know.
All right, this whole no video thing is really
it's really hard.
So I guess you don't obviously share on social media quite as much. Do you kind of want to walk us through the reasonings why, and maybe what your thoughts are on it now, like if you plan to go back to sharing more, or if you're just happy kind of riding the wave that you're on?
Yeah, so it was, I usually take like a 2-week, month-long break like every year, every so often, just because it's kind of nice to get away from social media. And then that like 2-week break turned into a month, turned into 6 months, turned into now over a year, which was never the plan. But once it happened, it was like, this is really nice. And there were some other reasons like that we had, just think personal reasons with my now husband, and things like that. Not that he was against any of it, but just family reasons. And yeah, there's some weird people out there that watch videos, and I think I've got that all taken care of, but I was just ready for a break, and it's been nice. I have posted a couple videos on YouTube. I think I weeded out most of the people on YouTube when I announced that I had gotten married. I don't think I've ever lost subscribers that quickly. So that was fun to just watch those numbers go down as soon as I posted that video. But yeah, I do plan on getting back on social media. I don't think that I'll be sharing as much as I did before, at least not for a while. But I do miss it.
Do you want to talk about your husband a little bit? Where, like, I feel like for people that aren't super close friends with you, that kind of came out of nowhere. You didn't really, you don't share him on anything. It was just kind of like a, oop, surprise, here we are. How did you guys meet? And are you able to tell a little bit more about him?
Yeah. So I met Sam, we started dating 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and we don't really have like that cute, like a good meet cute story, but we just kind of hit it off. He grew up farming and just, you know, a series of unfortunate events where it didn't work out for him to continue that. So after, you know, things didn't work out with his family farm when he was in his early 20s. He worked for another farmer for a while, was an operator at a fertilizer plant for a while before he ended up starting his own livestock fencing business. So he stays pretty busy with that and the cattle. And yeah, I guess he doesn't share much on social media, so I try to be respectful of the fact that like he doesn't want his face plastered all over. And obviously with my stepson, I'm not going to, you know, share his face on social media either. But yeah, just trying to be respectful of the fact that he doesn't want to be all over the internet. But he's supportive of me doing it, which is, you know, great. But yeah, we just decided to get married. We didn't have a big wedding. Actually, we didn't even tell anyone we were doing it. It was just us, his son, and the person we had marry us. So, and then we didn't tell our parents till the next day.
Surprise! How'd they get married?
My dad was thrilled because he didn't have to pay for a wedding.
I bet. That's funny.
So it worked out for everyone.
Yeah, I'd say. Does he help on the farm much? Like, how is your dad excited to have another farmhand if he needs it? Or does he stay busy enough on his own that he doesn't have time?
Yeah, he stays pretty busy. He'll help when he does have the time. Because like I said, he grew up doing all of that. Like, honestly, he can do everything. He has a CDL. So that was another reason why my dad was like, you got to lock this down. Because this is someone who can actually be a real help, like real asset to this family.
Do it for the fam.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was able to take about a month off of fencing last spring to help with planting and all the pre-plant stuff. This year, he wasn't able to do that in harvest or this coming spring. He's just too busy. You know, he finally, help is so hard to find, and he finally found, you know, some good help. And so, you know, with his own business, he's not going to risk losing that help. So he helps when he's able, which is really handy. Has his spray operator's license. Fantastic.
Nice. He's a cat.
He is.
The real question is, though, does he support your raccoons?
Okay. Yes. So last spring, he actually brought me two raccoons.
Unfortunately,
they did not make, there was something wrong with both of them, so they didn't make it. But I was very surprised that he did that. Just because, like, he's not against it, but he's not, you know, wholeheartedly for it.
However,
yes, exactly. However, we did have an issue with raccoons massacring our kittens a few weeks ago. And
oh my God.
Yes, it was really bad. Like, he went out there to feed them and check on them before we ate supper. And he came back in and was so disturbed by what he saw. Like, they decapitated the cats. He was like, I can't eat. Like, I'm just going to have to wait till tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah. So I was like, wow, that must have been really bad. And so I don't think the raccoons are going to be encouraged anytime soon.
I didn't know raccoons went after kittens like that. That's kind of, that knocks them down a couple pegs.
Yeah, I don't know that they usually do. I'm guessing that the cat was eating the food and the raccoon was like, no.
Mm.
So
this is my food. I'm going to eat you now.
Yeah. Oh,
poor thing.
That's what, I don't think it even ate the cat. Like, it literally just ripped it to pieces. Like, yeah. And then was cool. Ate the food. So.
I'm going to have to put a trigger warning on this episode now.
Yeah, Yeesh. So sorry.
Okay, on a different note, I don't think we've discussed why your name is Urn.
Okay, yes. I feel like I get this a lot, and I always...
Is this a typo, or...?
Yeah, so it started when I was in high school. I played soccer, and our coach, we were had a timeout, and she was writing really fast on the playboard or whatever, and she just forgot the I in my name, and everyone thought it was hilarious. And so from then on out, everyone at school just called me Urn.
I love that.
And then when I went to college, I got my own email address, and Aaron Holbert was already taken.
That's odd.
And I didn't want one with a bunch of numbers on the end. Like, I don't know. I was like, I don't want to be that person that lists off a bunch of numbers. So I was like, I'll just go with Urn. And then my Instagram account, I started it when I was in high school. I never changed it. So that was still Urn Holbert. And it just kind of, again, snowballed. And by the time I realized, wow, this might not have been the best, it was too late. And now I'm Urn forever.
I love it. I'm not even mad about it.
please don't ever change that. I hope you, if you end up changing your name to your new last name, please just change your first name as well. Ditch the I forever.
Yes, I do. I have been filling out all of that paperwork, so I will consider it.
Oh, man, it's a pain to get all that
it
stuff
is.
About just everything. Ugh.
And that's why I'm like, okay, well, I need to, like, get this switched over first. So now I'm like, do I just wait? But people are sending checks to, like wedding stuff, like, to just me. And I'm like, how do I know when to change this name?
Your bank should know who you are still. Like, there was a few times, even years after I was married, that they used my maiden name. And
yeah,
I still took it.
Okay, yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had to, like, switch health insurance and, like, all of that. And I'm like, okay, I've got to get this done before I even worry about changing my name, because this is much more important.
Yeah.
I love it.
I will fall off a bin, and I need that health insurance before I need a new last name.
Yeah, you do have quite, you're a little accident prone, I'm not going to lie.
I am.
Do you want to talk about it, or?
I mean, I can. I was a little offended. My sister said the other day, like, something about me being clumsy. And I'm like, I'm honest to goodness, like, I'm not clumsy. I'm just like, I just do stupid stuff that results in me getting hurt.
I sometimes wonder what you did in your past life to deserve the health record and just, like, the weird things that happened to you. Because you have a lot of weird things that happened to you. Like, you send Snapchats and my jaw is genuinely on the floor after what you send me.
I don't even know.
Because are you able to talk about the incident on your farm that happened? Was it a year ago?
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk about that, please?
Yes. Yeah, just the stuff, and yeah, not even to me, but just the farm in general and my dad. I'm telling you, I don't know what we have done, but it's the most random stuff. And you know what? My dad has always said, like, we did not have bad luck until you came back to the farm full time. And, like, ever since then, like, something has happened, like, every 6 months.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm so glad I'm here. Yeah, so that was, yeah, pretty much a year ago, and we're still dealing with the repercussions of it, but it was a Friday night, and thankfully, like, we weren't working late. Like, we normally still, someone would have still been at the farm. It was, like, 6:30, 7 o'clock, but we had my stepson that weekend, so I was like, okay, I'm going home early. My dad was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to take your mom out for supper, you know. So we both were gone, thank goodness. And there was a, I don't even know how to start the story, so I guess I'll just start from the very beginning. This crazy man was pulled over, like, over an hour away. He had a warrant out for his arrest for attempted murder. And when the cop went back to run his plates, he took off. Somehow he made it all the way through the country. Again, like, 40 miles away, without getting stopped, ran out of gas on the highway in front of the farm. There was a house that used to be my great uncle's, like, right on the farm. No one in our family lives there. It's a different family. They were all home. He wrecked into their front yard, started having a shootout with the police officers chasing him. In their yard, like, bullets were going into their house. Like, that house is set up really weird. Luckily, like, all the main living areas, the kitchen, living room, were on the second floor. Again, thank goodness, like, what house is set up like that? Because the whole family was home. They just finished supper. Like, they had a little kid, like, a six-year-old in the house. So none of them were hurt. This man takes off, runs through their pool, climbs over the fence, and tries to get in our shop. It's locked, so he takes off towards one of the sheds. At this point, like, there's, like, I don't even know how many police officers there, and I'm starting to get phone calls from neighbors saying, like, hey, your dad is not picking up his phone. we can't get a hold of anyone. Like, there's a ton of police at the farm. Like, is he okay? Because at this point, everyone assumed that my dad was there being held hostage.
Ooh.
Yeah. My dad was just ignoring them because he was like, no, I'm at Texas Roadhouse. Like, I would love to enjoy a value steak. So I go out there. And
give me some more rolls with that cinnamon butter. Yeah. I don't care about this shit.
He's like, I'm having a rum and coke. Like, let me enjoy this side salad. So I'm freaking out at this point because I was like, did he change his mind? Did he stay? And so I'm like, I'm going up there. Well, they've blocked off all the roads. Like, they've shut down the highway. So this man is, and I've like downloaded the police scanner. So all we are hearing is shots fired, the Hulbert Farms, you know, and that this man has barricaded himself inside one of our sheds. Well, from the description, we thought it was like the new shed with like all of our, like, I mean, granted, all of our equipment is, you know, nice, but like the ones with like the planters, the newest tractors, the combine, like the one that holds like, you know, the Holy Grail, like we could not operate. So we're freaking out even more thinking that like we just spent the last 3 weeks on these planters and they're about to get shot up. So then we hear suspect has started a vehicle. And we're like, what the heck? This, he had started, somehow gotten the dump truck started. He backs up, hits the backo, I don't know, lines himself up again and just revs it and goes through the doors of the shed. So I don't, full on Dukes of Hazzard style. And all these cops, all these Barney Fifes that never see any action. It's just, I don't know how more of them weren't shot. Because there was a police officer shot. He was fine. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. He was fine. He got shot in the leg and then he accidentally shot himself in the foot. So, we don't know, like, I can't remember how many, he made it like 200 feet maybe before he ran into a bin. And he got lucky. We didn't have any damage to the bin. Like, the concrete at the bottom stopped the tire before he, like, really caused damage. But they counted 47 bullet holes in the truck.
Wow.
And then afterwards, we found several more after, you know, the police had all left. And we actually went through it. He was shot 20 times. And he lived.
Ooh. Oh
my gosh.
And was still fighting the police officers and first responders as they were trying to put him in an ambulance. So he was on something. Like, he had some like superhuman strength. The girlfriend that he was accused of attempting to kill was in the car with him. They didn't even realize she was in the car until like after all of this was happening.
Can you imagine what she was like thinking, just sitting in the car, no one knows she's there? She's probably just like, huh.
I don't know. I feel like you have to be a special person to, like, if someone tries to kill you, like, you go back. Like, he had strangled her with a seatbelt and bit her finger off.
So oh my gosh.
Yeah. Her finger was still black, they said, where.
Why wouldn't you get out of the car at that point too and like go up to a cop and be like, hey, can you get me back home or something?
No, I guess. And then after, she tried to break him out of the hospital.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes. So it was just the whole thing, and yeah, it was a mess. We learned a lot about, you know, how things work. Like, they literally just left the dump truck sitting there full of this man's blood. Like, they don't send a hazmat team out to clean that up. We had to.
That's odd.
Still have glass in our lot. And yeah, that was really fun. luckily our insurance, like, we would have had to file all these claims through the state, and luckily our insurance took care of it. So we're still dealing with the paperwork a year later. But it took over, like, almost a year to get that truck fixed. We just got it back last harvest. But it still has a couple bullet holes in it because they couldn't find all the parts. So it's got some character.
I mean, that's kind of badass to drive down a dump truck with bullet holes in it. As long as everyone's like, oh my goodness. I hope you can't hear my child screaming in the background.
Very quietly. It's fine. Mine are too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, thank God that no people were, like, more severely hurt. I can't even shot 20 times and not only not dying, but, like, not fighting back. So, I mean, I assume this guy is in jail, I hope.
Yeah, I think he still is. I'm not really sure what all happened there. Like, it's been very hush-hush. We were never, like, told anything.
I wonder if they're, I mean, maybe still investigating. I'm sure he's got a long list of things that he did wrong.
Yes, I'm sure he wished that he would have just been, like, half a mile over and still been in Illinois when all this happened.
Yeah.
I'm just going to suggest that you find, like, a shaman to come sage your entire...
You got to do something.
Yeah, you need something. I mean, you're doing great, but boy, that's just a wild story. You have a lot of wild stories.
I just would like a normal year.
Go find a shaman. Go get that sage. Yeah. Make sure it's a good sage.
We'll get a Catholic priest while we're at it. Just bless everything. Sprinkle bless some water.
Do what you need to. We totally understand. Aaron, we got together, was it 2 years ago?
Yes, how crazy is that?
Do you want to remind people which chocolate milk you preferred?
Oh, come on! It was rigged.
You know what? I'm going to be really honest and say I don't really remember.
Sucker.
Ooh.
I know.
I have picture proof. You preferred the green cap.
I know it was Amber's pick because I thought Becca was going to start crying.
Yeah, because no one liked her trash. Anyway.
Well, I just got to know, what kind of milk do you drink at your house? Like, what percentage?
Mostly 2%. And we usually have whole milk on, like, I usually try to keep that on hand for cooking.
So what you're saying is you're used to both. You just prefer the 2% over the whole milk.
I suppose. I mean, I guess that's what I grew up drinking.
That's fair.
It's fine. I'm glad you're drinking milk. Thank you for supporting me.
Yeah, and I'm lactose intolerant, so we're really supportive here.
Hey,
you're really risking it for the biscuit there.
I am.
Hey, same news, though. I don't know if I can share this.
Ooh. Sure you can.
Oh, what the heck? Well, I mean, Prairie Farms already has lactose-free milk, so that's no secret. But they're kind of expanding that, and there's going to be more options, so...
That's exciting.
Prairie Farms in your area, we're going to have some more lactose-free options for you to keep your belly happy.
That is exciting. To be fair, I never avoided the lactose anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they make, like, pills for that.
Well, I went completely dairy-free for a couple years, like, after I started having issues in high school. And, like, ever since then, as long as I don't overdo it, we're good. I don't get sick, but... I did have to convert Sam because Sam, for the first 30 years of his life, thought he was, like, very allergic to dairy. So he never had anything. No ice cream, no milk, nothing, no cheese. Like, he ordered pizza the first time, like, when we were together, and there was no cheese. It was just, like, bread, sauce, pepperoni, and sausage. And I was like, what is this?
I didn't even know that was an option. Yeah,
I know. That is really, like, I stuck that out. And he was like, yeah, I just can't have anything. And I was like, well, this is not going to work because I really enjoy cooking and I can't cook without dairy. And so he was like, well, you just, you know, you got to use other stuff, margarine. And I'm like, okay. So I slowly started adding it in. And it was like months later, and he was like, see, I told you, like, if you just, you know, use other stuff, like, I'm fine. And I was like, do you even realize that the mashed potatoes you just ate were more dairy than potato? I'm like, you're fine. And so, yeah, ever since then, because I was just like, listen, I'm sorry, I can't be with someone who isn't even willing to try cheese. Yeah, so he started eating dairy. He had ice cream for the first time in his life at the age of, like, 31.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he stopped almost every day on his way home from work and got ice cream for, like, a solid 3 months. Because he was, like, he had a lot of time to make up for.
A whole world, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
That's so hilarious.
Life is good now.
Yeah. Okay, Amber, should we do a couple of really quick rapid-fire questions? My kids are going crazy, so
mine is too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cheese curds, fried or squeaky?
Fried.
Good choice. That was quick. Gosh, I didn't even have time to think of the next question. What's your favorite color of Gatorade?
Blue.
Which blue? The dark blue or the light blue, though?
The dark blue.
Ooh.
The cool blue.
There you go.
That is good. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why I do this because I didn't think of anything either. It's a long day after work. What are you grabbing to drink?
My go-to would be a cranberry Riesling if we're going alcoholic.
Wow.
If we're going regular. I really love, like, a good, like, pineapple juice. Like, I know we always have pineapple juice in the fridge at the shop. I don't know why.
I can't.
The answers are so unhinged.
I've never had pineapple juice, like, not in a mixed drink, I don't think.
It's a great source of vitamin C.
Yeah,
sorry, I should have said cranberry juice or milk. Like, that would have been...
Oh, it's fine.
Pandering,
I was going to say, we're already paying you. Like, come on, step it up a little bit here.
That'll be extra.
Oh, that was not in our contract. Okay, last question, since we were just talking about ice cream. Choking on spit. What's your ice cream of choice?
Usually I go for chocolate, but lately I've been going for cookies and cream.
Mm, good choice.
That's like the most normal answer you've given all night. I'm kind of surprised.
Well, that's what's available at the local DG. So again, it's always in the freezer at the shop.
Oh, I love it. Erin, where can people find you on social media if they want to catch up with you?
Yeah, you can find me on, I guess, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Erin Holbert.
Sorry, it's just funny.
I know, it is. At this point, I'm just going to roll with it. I'm 30 years old. Like, it's not changing now. You can find me on Facebook at Heart of the Midwest and YouTube at just Erin Holbert. I went boring on that one.
We will link all of that in the show notes below. So if you guys want to go check her out, please feel free to do so. Tell her that we said hi and to eat more ice cream. So thank you guys for listening. If you're not following us already, head over to Forward Farming Podcast on YouTube, except for today's episode, Facebook and Instagram. I'm over at Cranberry Chats. Becca is over at Becca Hilby. And go give us a like, a rating, review, whatever on your favorite podcast streaming platform, because we love to see those. But thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.